There's nothing in the world that I'd rather do than be with you and praise our awesome God together. I love and appreciate you all more than I can articulate. We started this new series last week, this series, Awesome God. And maybe the series isn't what you expected it to be, because it's not about me telling you that God is awesome or telling you why God is awesome, because I kind of assume you know that already, that you know God is awesome. But this is what this series is about, that you can... Oh, I apologize. Maybe you have to advance to the next slide. You can know God is awesome without knowing the value of saying God is awesome. I'll say that one more time. You can know God is awesome without knowing the value of saying God is awesome. You can know that your spouse is wonderful and beautiful and fantastic and that you love your spouse without actually saying it. But there is value in saying it. There is value in articulating it. There is value in articulating why you love God. There is value in saying that God is awesome, that God is good, and having that reality on your lips constantly. The question is, do you know why that is so valuable? Do you know why it's so important? Do you know why it's important to say, God, you are wonderful. God, you are good. God, you are merciful. Even on the days you don't really feel it, even on the bad days, even on the worst days, do you know the value of telling God he is awesome and telling other people that God is awesome? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. That's what we're going to talk about the rest of this series. We're going to be in Psalm 71 this morning. And as we move to that psalm, I kind of want you to know the context. We don't know who wrote this psalm, so we'll just refer to him as the psalmist. We don't know who wrote this psalm or really what the context of this psalm is all about, what was happening in the context. But he's probably an older person. And so if you are in that stage of life, hopefully this psalm resonates with you. But here's a person who is older, but he's been praising God and saying constantly that God is awesome ever since he was a youth. So if you're a youth, hopefully this psalm resonates with you. So his whole life, from the time he was a young child until now that he's an older man, he's been saying God is awesome. But now he's at a stage of life where he really needs God's help, salvation, and deliverance. And maybe that resonates with you right now. Maybe you're going through something right now, and you need the help of God. But if you're not in a moment like that right now, spoiler alert, it's coming. You are going to have a moment like that in the future. And you know that because you've probably had a moment like that in the past. And another moment like that is coming. And I want us to see the value of praising God on the good days and on the bad days. So if you have your Bible, Psalm chapter 71 and verse 1. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to hear me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. The Psalms, I like to say that the Psalms, each Psalm is either celebrating the salvation of God or anticipating the salvation of God. It's either celebrating the salvation of God or anticipating the salvation of God. Sometimes it's doing both. Either it's saying, God, you have saved me, you have rescued me, or God, you will save me. You will rescue me. You will deliver me. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. See, this is what biblical hope sounds like. We talk a lot about hope, don't we? It's good to talk about hope, and we should have hope, and we should talk about hope. We talk about the value of hope, but sometimes we're not real specific about what hope sounds like. Hope is not pie in the sky, wishful thinking. Hope is confident expectation. This is who you are. This is what you will do. You will not let me be put to shame. Deliver me, rescue me, listen to me, save me. You are my rock and my fortress. This is what hope sounds like. It sounds like, and it looks like, even on the worst days, even when everything is stacked against us, saying, I know what things look like, Lord. And I know how I feel right now. I know how terrified I feel, how anxious I feel, how worried I feel, but I know who you are, and I know that you're my rock. I know that you're my fortress. I know that you will not let me be put to shame. I put my trust in you, and in the end, nobody is going to laugh and say, ha, he put his trust in the wrong place, in the wrong God. That will never happen, because you are who you are. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 71. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord. From my youth, upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have trusted you every moment of every day, my whole life. From the time I was a baby, before I was even born, while I was still in my mother's womb, you have been my trust. And every day since then, I have put my trust in you. Now, it might sound like he's saying, God, look how faithful I've been. I've earned the right to be rescued. I've earned the right to be delivered. But he's not really saying that. He's not saying, I've earned the right to be rescued. He's saying, you've earned the right to be trusted. You've earned the right to be trusted. I've trusted you every day. I've trusted you every moment. I've trusted you since I was a teenager. I've trusted you on the good days. I've trusted you on the bad days. And right now, while it looks like everything is stacked against me and my enemies are pressing in on me and it looks like everything is going to come crumbling down, I trust you even now. I haven't earned the right to be saved, but you've earned the right to be trusted. I mean, can't we say the same? Can't we say, God, you've earned the right to be trusted? I know what it looks like right now. I know how scary it feels. I know the reality. See, as Mike said earlier during the communion focus, the Psalms deal with reality, the real world, the real pain, the real suffering, the real fear, the real anxiety, the real stuff you're going through. But it says, in spite of everything that's happening right now, I trust you. And not good for me, pat me on the back for trusting you. I trust you because you've earned the right to be trusted. You're faithful and you keep your promises. God has earned that right. Look at verse 7. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. That word means a sign, a sign. Now, some translations take it as a good sign, like people look at me and they see it as a sign of your faithfulness because you're a deliverer, but maybe it means a bad sign, like a bad omen. Like people see me coming and they're like, oh, there comes bad luck right there. And they see me coming and they look at me like I'm bad luck. Like I'm a bad omen. But you are my strong refuge. Verse 8, he says, my mouth is filled. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. That's the big question of this series. That's what this Awesome God series is about. Is your mouth filled with his praise? Is your mouth filled with his praise? Is your mouth filled with his glory all the day? I mean, let's think about it this way. Is God more deserving of praise now or less than when the psalmist wrote these words? The psalmist knew nothing, except through the Spirit, the psalmist knew nothing of Calvary. The psalmist knew nothing of the cross. The psalmist didn't know that God would send his only begotten son. All the psalmist knew is that every time I trust in you and every time your people trust in you, you deliver. You come through for your people. You are a good God. And little did they know just how good he is. That because he loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, we know far more now than they knew then. We have even more reason to trust, even more reason to hope, even more reason to be confident, even more reason to have our mouth continually filled with his praise. And when we're praising God, that's not a denial of reality. We can do both. That's what hope does. Hope holds in both hands that tension between lament, like this really stinks, God. I hate the situation I'm in. And also joy, because I know you're going to deliver your people. I know what kind of God you are. Look at verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. Look at verse 12. O God, be not far from me, O my God. Make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. Verse 14, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. No matter how hopeless it feels, no matter how many enemies are against me, no matter what they're saying about me, no matter how old or weak or frail I am, he says, I will hope, I will praise, I will tell of your righteous acts. That's a commitment that we're making. In fact, whether you knew it or not, that's the commitment you were making if you're a Christian when you were baptized. When you were baptized, you were saying, Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know the things I'm going to go through. I know I'm going to have to pick up my cross and follow Jesus, and I will praise you continually. On the good days, when things are going well, and I feel it, and on the bad days, when I feel hopeless, and I feel outnumbered, and I feel worn out and weak and frail, I am committed to praising you continually, to hoping, to telling of your righteous acts. So here's my question. How does the psalmist have this kind of confidence to boast so much in the reliability of God? And that's what he's doing, is that he's boasting in the reliability of God. He's not boasting in himself. I'm so strong. I'm so good. I'm going to figure out a way. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. He's not boasting in himself, but he is boasting in the reliability of God. He doesn't have self-confidence. He has God confidence. How? Why? Why does this old man, who's weak and frail, that everybody seems to hate his guts right now, why does he still have so much confidence? Look at verse 17. Oh God, this is why. Oh God, from my youth, you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to an old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You have done great things, O God, who is like you? He has confidence because he knows the character and the conduct of God. That's how we have confidence. That's the only way we can have confidence, is when we know the character of God and the conduct of God. This is who you are. This is what you've done. You have taught me your wondrous deeds, your might, your power, your righteousness. See, when we constantly rehearse the character of God and the conduct of God, then even in the worst moments, even in the hardest moments, we can have confidence. Because we can say, I don't know what people are going to do. Even good people, even people I love, even my friends, even my family, I don't know what they're going to do. They might let me down. They might break their promises. They might be unreliable. I don't know what situations are going to do. I don't know what governments are going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the weather's going to do. I don't know any of those things, but I do know the character and the conduct of God. And looking back at the past, at the character and conduct of God in the past, gives me confidence in the present and in the future to know this is who he is and this is how he will act. Verse 20, you who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. You will revive me from the depths of the earth. You'll bring me back from death. Now, I think the psalmist means this metaphorically. In other words, you're going to bring me back from the edge of death. That's where he feels like he is right now. I'm at the edge of death. I'm in the pit, like we talked about last week. I'm in the slimy mud hole, and you're going to bring me back from the edge of death. But what the psalmist is merely speaking about metaphorically, the Father did for Jesus literally. You will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. See, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of this, isn't he? That he did the Father's will, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. And the Father revived him again. From the depths of the earth, he brought him up again. He increased his greatness. He comforted him again. Jesus is the ultimate, the full, the complete fulfillment of this in every psalm. But I also want us to recognize that not only did the Father do this for the psalmist, and ultimately and literally for Jesus, but he will also do it for you. Literally. I should have said this last week, but I didn't. This thing you're going through right now, or this thing you will go through soon, I don't know how that will end in a temporary way. I don't know all the things you're going to have to go through. But I know ultimately, this is the fate, this is the destiny of all of God's people. God will revive you again. I don't know what troubles and calamities you will have to go through between now and then, but I do know that if you belong to Jesus, He will revive you again. He will bring you back from the depths of the earth and will bring you up again. He will increase your greatness and He will comfort you again. I know that is what is in store for all of God's people. Resurrection. Literally, not as a metaphor, literally. There's going to be a time where I'm going to get a diagnosis if I'm blessed enough to know that my end is coming. And then at some point, I will likely, unless the Lord comes back first, I will die. And I will lose that battle with whatever it is that I'm going through. But I know that that's not the end of my story. And I know that no matter what you're going through right now, no matter how that ends on a temporary basis, ultimately, He will bring you up again. And if you belong to Him, this is our destiny. This is our hope. This is our confidence, so that we can say, no matter what happens in this situation, ultimately, I will not lose. And none of God's people will lose. We cannot be defeated because God is faithful. Look at verse 22. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness. Oh my God, I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy. I will sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. Now in the Bible, when it talks about redeeming our soul, it's not talking about like an invisible part of us. He's saying, you saved my life. You see that even in the midst of the danger, even in the midst of the trouble and calamity, He has this confidence that I will praise, I will sing, I will shout for joy. He's anticipating His response to what God will do. And again, how in the world can you have confidence in the midst of trouble and calamity about what God will do? Because you know His character and His conduct and what He has done. And because you know what He has done, you can have confidence in the present about the future. And He knows, I will praise, I will sing, I will shout for joy. We know the same thing, don't we? We know that no matter what it is that we're going through or what we will go through, that ultimately we will spend eternity singing and praising and shouting for joy. We know that that's the future. Even if we experience a loss, in Christ that loss is only temporary. It's not permanent. Look at verse 24. It says, "And my tongue will talk of your righteousness, of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt." Why? Why was He able to have this kind of confidence, this kind of trust, this kind of peace? Peace. Shalom. Why? In the midst of His age, His frailty, the way people were treating Him. Why? Because He had spent His whole life praising God from the time He was a youth. Probably even before He really understood what the words meant, His parents and people in His life taught Him to praise God so that He could look back in His older years and say, all along, I was praising You, I was praising You, I was praising You. And here's what praise does. Praise prepares you to persevere. Praise prepares you to persevere. That's why even on the days where you're like, I don't know, I don't want to show up for worship today. I don't want to say my prayers today. I don't really feel like reading my Bible today. Something's coming in your life. And maybe you're in the midst of it right now. And it's praise. It's praising the character of God and praising the conduct of God that prepares you to persevere through that trouble and calamity. You can go through it. You can endure it. You can persevere through it because you know the character of God. You know the conduct of God. You know the promises of God. And every day that we praise Him and we say, our God is an awesome God. Our God is merciful. Our God keeps His promises. Our God is reliable. Our God is dependable. Our God is our refuge. Our God is our shelter. Our God shows up. Our God does what He promises to do. And every day that we say those things, He strengthens us so that we can endure and persevere through the trouble that we're going through or the trouble that we will be going through. And I don't know what season you're in right now, but I know that no matter the season, it's always the time to praise because praise prepares us to persevere. And maybe there's somebody here this morning and you haven't yet become a Christian, but you've been thinking about it for a while and you're ready to commit your life to Jesus. Commit your life to the Lord. Be forgiven of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pledge your loyalty and allegiance to King Jesus. And commit yourself to every day. I will praise Him. I will be faithful and loyal to Him because I know that in the end, He promises to raise His people to life. And if you haven't made that commitment, I want to encourage you, think about doing it this morning. We'd love to help you with that. Or maybe you're in one of those seasons of trouble and calamity. And you know God is awesome, but you need people to surround you and speak those words of truth into your ear and into your heart. And we would love to do that for you and with you. We'd love to pray with you and encourage you. Our shepherds would love to do that. You can go to the prayer room after service, or your entire church family would love to help you this morning in any way we can as together we stand, sing this song.